Well, Leviticus chapter 14 and verse number 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. The book of Leviticus is one of the most neglected books in the Bible because it contains the laws for Israel in the most mundane areas of life. This book deals with everything from circumcision to sacrifices to sanitary issues to diseases, a whole host of other matters. And we know that the truths of the book goes beyond ancient rules for living in Israel, because if that is all that it was there for, then I don't think that it would be in the Bible. But it's not there to tell you just how they lived, but why they lived the way that they lived. There is a spiritual application to these truths. There was for them, and I believe that there is for us as well. In recent weeks, I have read the book of Leviticus in a fresh light. It's amazing to me how you can read the Bible for years, and then one day God turns the light on a particular passage of Scripture that you've read over and over and over, but this time you read it through illumination. And there is a lot to the book of Leviticus that still loses me, that I don't understand. But in the past few weeks, I have gained a new appreciation for the book of Leviticus. The theme of the book is holiness, holiness. Exodus is redemption. The next book is Leviticus, holiness. A redeemed people ought to be a holy people. And God is instructing his people how they are to live in the most mundane areas of life. And the reason why is because holiness ought to be evident in every area of life. What you've learned in Leviticus is that there is no separation between the secular and the sacred for a Christian. And you learn that it is our sin that cuts us off from fellowship with God. That's the most obvious lesson of Leviticus. I would love for one day for our church to take a journey through Leviticus and to see what the Lord could teach us about personal holiness through the truths of this book. But when you come to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, those two chapters go together and they give you what is called the law of the leper. Leprosy was a big problem in that place and in that time. So this deals with how to diagnose leprosy and what to do when it is found. And behind the code of cleanliness, that's what the two chapters are, behind the code of cleanliness, it is to teach Israel that they live in a cursed world. Things are not as they should be. Now, I want to just mention this to you and put this in your mind, and then I'm going to move away from it. When I began to look at these two chapters, there was something about the word leprosy that I was not sure of. I'm not sure in the Bible if the word leprosy is always a specific disease, or if sometimes it is a general word. I called three or four preachers, you would know their names, men that I respect as Bible expositors. We talked about this, but when we think of leprosy, what we're thinking of is what is medically called Hansen's disease. When you read of Tommy Tillman and the leper colonies and disfigured individuals, that's leprosy, but it's called Hansen's disease. And that particular disease, I believe, is represented in the Bible and in this chapter. But I don't believe that that word is always speaking of what we would call Hansen disease. I believe the word is a general word that sometimes is used for other skin diseases or other conditions. Medical doctors have commented on these two chapters that a lot of the symptoms that you read of, and especially in Leviticus chapter 13, are not symptomatic of Hansen's disease, what we would know as leprosy. Some commentators say that in Leviticus 13, that there are over 21 different skin conditions that are mentioned in that chapter. So we don't believe that it's always leprosy like we think of it, but it is something that is infectious. It is something that is contagious. When leprosy is detected in a person or in a home, the priest would be called to the home to make an examination. He alone is charged with diagnosing the condition and setting the rules for treatment. Sometimes that person would have to be quarantined. We're familiar with that nowadays, aren't we? I'll tell you, there is a huge difference, however, that if the person had to be quarantined, they didn't quarantine the entire country. They quarantined the sick person, all right? The sick person. I would love to send that to Washington and a lot of governors. But sometimes the person would have to be quarantined, and sometimes that issue would go away after 7 days. Sometimes it would spread and it would get worse. There was no medical treatment. In no case is there any medicine that the priest can prescribe to help the condition. The only thing that you could do is to try to contain it, try to keep it from spreading, but if there is any cure for it, the cure has to come from God. Now in chapter 13, I'll give you just a quick summary of it, and then I'm going to my text. In chapter 13, in verse 1 down to verse number 46, it deals with the diagnosis of leprosy in the skin. There are various skin conditions that are described. It is a contagious, it is an infectious disease. And the priest comes in and he examines the person. And if he sees certain things that he's looking for, then he pronounces the man unclean. These verses talk about having a rising or a scab or a bright spot or a scald or an inflammation. It is leprosy in the skin. But then when you get to verse number 47, verse 47 down to the end of the chapter, verse 29, it is talking about leprosy in clothing, leprosy in garments. Hansen's disease, by the way, does not attack inanimate objects. It doesn't attack clothing. So it could be talking about some fungus, some kind of mold perhaps that has gotten in to clothing. Again, the priest comes and he examines it and determines what needs to be done to keep it from spreading. If there is a reddish or is there a greenish color to it, then the garment it becomes a matter of serious concern. Sometimes the garment can be cleansed and can be used again. Sometimes it is just all over the garment. You can't get rid of it. You've got to burn it. You've got to get rid of it. See, when you come to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 through verse number 32 is the law of cleansing for the leper. When a person has a spot that is of concern, the priest comes and examines him. He quarantines the person for 7 days to see if it goes away. If it has not, he quarantines him for another 7 days for extra caution. If after those 2 7-day periods that disease is spreading and it's gone deeper than the skin, then the priest has to pronounce him unclean. I'll not describe all of that, but that was like a death sentence. It means that he has to be cut off from society. And by the way, it is not intended as a mark of shame for him, because this is not something that he did. This is something that happened to him. But it's necessary to cut him off from society to keep the leprosy from spreading to other people. There was nothing that they could do to cure the problem. The only thing we can do is to try to contain the problem. But then, if a man is healed of leprosy, and it is by God if he is, then there are certain offerings and ceremonies that he has to perform per Leviticus 14 for his cleansing. And all of that is described in Leviticus 14. It is rich with spiritual application. And what it teaches us is that sin is contagious. It goes much deeper than the skin. And your only hope is for God to cleanse you. That's the lesson of Leviticus 13 and 14. Then when you come to verse 33, chapter 14, verse 33 to the end of the chapter, it is leprosy in the home. Look if you would in verse number 37. He shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow straits, greenish or reddish, which inside are lower than the wall. Now, verse 33 through verse number 53, 20 verses, the word leprosy is found only 2 times. Now he uses the word plague. The word plague is found 10 times. And what he's talking about is something that has attacked the walls and the plaster unclean homes. And I want you to look at this passage with me tonight. And the first thing I want you to notice is there is a realistic expectation. Look, if you would, in verse 34. When you be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. Listen very carefully. The laws that God gave to Israel were given during their wilderness wanderings. And some of them were given for when they would settle down in Canaan. It anticipates a time when they will come into the land of promise. They will build houses. They will build cities. They will have a more settled life. They lived in tents right now, but we're going to move to Canaan. And when we do, we will build houses, permanent structures. And we need to know now how to protect those homes when we get them. So this particular law references when you come into Canaan. So it anticipates that even, listen to this, that even in the land of promise, their houses are going to be attacked by some kind of disease or fungus or some kind of leprosy. It is not attached to a sin because it's not because of disobedience. It is something that is just going to happen. There is no blame assigned. There is no curse that causes it. It is not because God is angry with you. That is not the case here. So why is that going to happen? I tell you why. The reason is because even in the land of promise, instantly though, there is a risky examination. Look at verse 35. He that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. He shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, is this something that we can get rid of? But if it can't be washed off, if it is deeper than we first thought, then maybe there is something that is more serious at stake. And so the first thing that the priest does is he tells them to take everything out. 7 days, house shut up, nobody can go in, nobody can go out. And later we're going to see that if after 7 days, if that problem does not go away, there are going to be some very expensive renovations. But suppose that you're the owner of the house. And you start noticing something very small growing on the wall. You detect a problem. Do you say something or not? Do you call the priest? Or do you wait? Do I see if I can fix this myself, or do I do what the law prescribes? You see, if you ignore it and hope that it just goes away, then you risk something destructive growing in your home. But if you call the priest, then you risk having to make some very expensive renovations down the road. There could be a lot of inconvenience. There could be a lot of expense. It is even possible that the thing grows, you cannot contain it, and you have to completely demolish the house. So there is a risk in calling for an inspection. There's a greater risk in ignoring a potential problem and watching it grow into something bigger. And at some time, every home in this church will face that decision. A parent notices an attitude in the child. Do I correct it or do I just let it go? The marriage is drifting apart, but should we talk about it or should we just live in peace and not deal with underlying issues? But see, what you detect in your home right now, it might be on the surface, but it might not be on the surface. And it might be something that can't be dealt with without tearing the house down. And it is uncomfortable to take the risk to call for the inspection, to ask God to examine this house. But the greater risk is that you ignore it spread in the walls, then he knows that we've got a more serious problem. It is going to require some renovations. So what they do is they take out all of the infected area. The platter, the stones, the mortar, the plaster, the stones, the mortar.
Everything that has the plague in it, they remove that. They take it out to the city. They take it to an unclean place, a dump of some kind, and they've got to replace it with new stones. Here in the South, we are familiar with mold, and the danger of mold. If you have mold growing in your home, your ceiling, and then everybody in the house is sick and you don't know why. Back in 2005, Hurricane Ivan hit and came pretty much a direct hit over Milton. And we sustained a lot of damage to our house during Hurricane Ivan. We left during that hurricane, and when we came back, a lot of the roof was ripped off and a lot of the house had gotten wet and rained in. And by the time that we got back to our house, just a couple of days after Hurricane Ivan, it was in the middle of summer. It was hot. It was very humid. When we went into the house, we had black stuff growing all over the walls of our house. That's mold. Welcome to Florida. And you know that you can't just paint over mold. You scrub it with bleach. Hope that takes care of it. You have to cover it with Kilzy or something like that before you paint. You probably are going to have to remove the sheetrock and get rid of the insulation. It is really a pain. But here's the thing about mold. You can't just paint over mold and hope it goes away. And when you have something attacking your home, you can't just gloss over it and hope that it goes away. It's not going away. It's going to keep growing. It's going to keep spreading until you deal with it the Bible way. If you don't deal with it, it's just going to keep spreading to other areas. And it may be, listen to me, it may be that the way that you have to deal with what is attacking your home is something may have to come out for. And that marriage and raising that child can be infected by a plague that you can't get rid of. I don't know if there's a case of anybody in Israel actually having to do that. But the law is telling you what to do when there's a plague in your house that is so pervasive. And remember, the law is there to teach them a spiritual truth. And the truth is that a home can become so broken and so plagued by some disease that it will destroy the home. And there are relationships tonight that are completely destroyed because a plague went undetected or untreated. There are marriages tonight that are completely destroyed because a plague went undetected or untreated. And there are children tonight that grew up in this church that they need God to protect them from the plague. We live in a very broken world. And sometimes that brokenness affects our homes. And just like leprosy, there'll never be a total eradication of sin until Jesus comes and takes us to heaven. We have people in our church. We have people in our homes that are very broken people. And you come to the piano. Sometimes that brokenness is not their fault. The plague infects good homes, and it affects bad homes. But when you detect a problem, it is your responsibility to take whatever measures to deal with the problem. You can't just paint over it. You can't just gloss over it. You got to deal with the plague. Sometimes you have to take things out, extensive renovations. But in the end, if your home is going to be whole, if your home is going to be clean, it'll take the work of God in that home. If you are going to be whole, it'll take the work of God in your life. And it may not happen overnight, but you'll have to depend on Him. You'll have to trust Him. You'll have to draw close to Him. And when He heals the plague, don't forget to say thank you. To consecrate that home. To consecrate your life to Him. Maybe you need to come tonight, or heads are bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you need to come tonight and to make that consecration. Lord, I detect a problem. I don't know that it's serious, but would you look at it? Would you help me to eradicate it? I don't want this to spread any further. I'll take all the measures prescribed in your word, but in the end, I need you to do the healing. I need you to do the cleansing. in our home. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? Oh God, help our homes tonight. God, help our families tonight. He can take the brokenness in your home and in your life, and He can heal that tonight. Would you come tonight? Heavenly Father, thank you for the liberty in preaching tonight, taking a very obscure passage and applying it to our homes today. Take these principles tonight. Teach us something. Help us to apply it tonight. Jacob is singing for us while he sings. These are praying around the altar if you need to.